Ramban. The Ramban in Lech Lecha. Ramban says in Lech Lecha, and the Pasuk says, Vayava Avram Ba'aretz, Ad Mekom Shem, Ad Elon Mora, Vaknani Az Ba'aretz. Okay. So, the Ramban says like this. Famous Ramban. Omer Lecha Klal, he says, I'll tell you a general principle. You'll understand with this all the forthcoming parshios. Binyan Avram Yitzchak V'Yakov. Regarding the Avos. V'hu Inyan Gadol. And this is a very important area. Is Kiru Rabbasinu B'derech Ktzara. So Chazal mentioned it very briefly. It's a medrash actually. V'amru, and they said, Kol ma she'ira lo'avos simon labanim. So whatever happened to the avos is a simon that the same thing will recur to the children of the avos, meaning Kol Yisrael. He says, V'lachein yarichu b'ksuvim, and that's why the pasuk is marech, expands a lot. The sefer hamasos, with Yaksum Sefer Hamasos, Vachafiros HaBe'eros, Mushor HaMikrim, the Yachshov, he says, that's why Torah tells you the different places where they traveled, okay, where the others traveled. Sipur HaMasos, it should be. It means talking, the story about the Masos. Vachafiros HaBe'eros, Mushor HaMikrim, and the other events that occurred. The Yachshav Achoshiv Bam Kiloim Dvarim Yisarim, Ein Bam Talus. And people who read the Torah think these are extra redundant things, incidents, and there's no benefit really on the surface from knowing these details. Alright, Vayavar, this pasuk, this is the first pasuk, you have such a kind of a pasuk. Vayavar Avram Ba'aretz Ad Mekom Shem, okay, Shem Ad Elam Mora. Fine. What's the importance? What's the significance of this? And then later it says, "Vayatek Mishem Aaron Mekedem LeVeisel Vayet Olo Beisel Miyom Vayim Mekedem Vayiv Hashem Asbech LeHashem." And then later it says he came back to that spot. Okay, he came back to that spot. Ad Makom Amizbeach Asher Asa Shom Lori Al Makom Amizbeach Vayelchem LeMasov Minegev Ad Beisel. Okay, it's nice. But what's the purpose of this? So that's what the Ramban says. A person who just reads the Torah in a surface, a superficial manner, thinks that there's no benefit to any of this. But he says no, that. There is a very important idea here, and Chazal already pointed to that idea because they said, "Myself of Simulabon." He says, "V'kulam boin l'lamed alosid." They all come to teach us about the future. Okay, now he goes into something which I am going to abstain from. I'm not going to explain it. He talks about the fact that the Navi, why the Navi, this next part I will explain, but later I'm going to, okay. All right, so in other words, that the when a person looks into the events that occur to the Avos, he will be able to understand, be able to misbone and think into it, and understand what's going to happen to the to Klal Yisrael in the future. Okay, vida kol gzeras irin. Then this part. Now he says like this. It says kol gzeras irin kashatetze mikoach gzera poel. Dimyon tiagzeremas kiamas al kopanim. Okay, then Ramban goes into some metaphysics here, where he says that there's such a thing as a potentiality, a potential gzera which becomes translated into actuality, and once it becomes actualized, then it will occur. And he says that's the idea where you find the Navi does certain actions many times. Does certain actions. He told this Talmud Baruch Ben Ario, he says you should, when you get finished reading the Sefer, so you should tie a stone to it and throw it into the river, into the Euphrates, and you say, Kocha Tishka Bavel. Okay, so the Ramban wants to explain what the Navi, how that works, that the Navi does certain actions. What's the necessity for him to do certain actions? So the Ramban explains that it's a metaphysical concept, that that things are being translated, and that deed is being translated from potentiality to actuality, and once it becomes actualized, then it will occur. Okay, this is something which I'm not going to go into. I mean, the Ran asks questions on this Ramban, how it works, different things. That's already metaphysics, and I'm going to... a person has to... know his limits. But the basic idea of Maisa Ovo, similar Bonim, up till that point, where the Ramban says that when you study the Ovos and you see the different actions that take place, that this is a simon for future events. Okay, so that's an important klal. And then the detail with regard to the nevuah I'm omitting, but the basic principle I'd like to explain. What kind of a principle is that? Then he says like this. He says that l'fichoch hechzik HaKadosh Baruch Hu es Avram ba'aretz va'osalo demyonos b'cholo ha'osid le'osos bizarro. And he made kind of like references through the travels, where Avram traveled was like a reference, so to speak, to things that are going to occur to his children. Okay, then he said, I'm going to explain some of the things in detail. It says, for instance, Vayavar Avram Ba'oretz Ad Mekom Shechem. This is very pasuk. Who is Shechem? He says, this means the city of Shechem. It says Shechem, the son of Hamor, was because of the city, it was named after the city. The Kosa of Rashi, so Rashi says, and it's Rashi on this parsha. What is Rashi also is bothered with the question? Yavar Avram Baritz Ad Makom Shechem. What does it got to do with Shechem? So Rashi says L'spalo al bnei Yaakov kisheyavol lochem b'Shechem. He was mispal for the children of Yaakov when later, at a later date, they were going to do battle with Shechem. Ramban elaborates, he quotes Rashi, he says, Nichnas letochad makom Shechem lespal abnei Yaakov kishiyavo min hasoda atzovim. When they'll return from the field depressed because they heard about what happened to their sister. The nochano. Okay, and this is correct. Now that's the incident with Dina. Okay. Yep. He says, "Va'ani Mosif ki yanai ed ki hechzik Avram b'makom hutchilo v'kodem shenoson lo asa'oretz nirmaz lo mizeh." He says, and I want to add to say that the fact that he went to Shechem, it was an indication of what would happen in the future. It was a remez. Ki bonav yichpishu amakom ahu tchila. Kodem hayosim zochem bo. Vekodem hayos avon yoshev haoretz sholem laglosom misham. He says that the children before the zochem eretz sholem, they will have a conquest over Shechem. Okay. V'lachein amar aknani oz baretz. Why is it aknani oz baretz? The Kashan, that's why it says the Kashan Yos Baritz means before the incident with Shechem. Okay? The Kashan Nos Lakash Bocha Oretz B'mayma, once God gave him the land through Nevuah, Oz Nosa Mishom, he left Shechem, V'nota Oel Bein Beisel or Bein Ai. And then he put his tent between Beisel and between Ai. Why? Ki hua makom ha-shekovash Yoshua b'tchila. Because that's the place that Yeshua had his first conquest. Okay? So he says that's why the pasuk says Vaknani Oz Baretz. Why? Lahoros Alinyan Aparsha. He reflects on this whole same concept. Lomar ki Avram bo Baretz Kanan. Avram went to the strange land of Canaan. V'lo eru Hashem, v'lo eru Hashem ha'aretz, asher yo'ado. And God didn't yet show him the land that he promised him. V'ovrad makom Shem, v'aknani agoy ha'mar v'animar oz baretz, and this wild nation was still in the land. The v'avram yori mimeno. Avram was afraid of the Canaan. When he came to the place Shechem, which is also called Elon Mora, Nira Elav Hashem, the Nasan Lo Haaretz, the Sora Yeraso, and then his fear was removed. Kikvar Huftach Baaretz Asher Areko, Va'oz Bonim Mizbech Lad Hashem Lavdo B'Fahesed. And then he wasn't afraid anymore, and then he built the Mizbeach to serve God publicly. Okay. All right, Ve'elon Mora, Zeb, Makom Shem. Okay, so then he goes into what is Elon Mora and Elon Mora, and there's a difference in Elon Mora, he says, in between Elon Mamre, because Mamre is another place that's near Hebron, Elon Mora is Shem. Okay, fine, explains all that. But, what is the basic yisod, the basic idea? Okay, and what does it mean also that first he was afraid of the Canaan, so he didn't build him there, and then he got a Mari Nevo, so what does it have to do with the present situation? I mean, if a person is in danger, you're not allowed to endanger yourself. So was he in danger at first, or was he not in danger at first? The fact that he received the nevuah about the future, I mean, doesn't have anything to do with his present situation. If the present situation was a dangerous one, so then he has to be wary and he has to use everything to protect himself. So it's not. He's not mechuyev to go and to be kareh b'shem Hashem and lose his life at that point. If that's the decision, so what does the Mari Nevoah really? What does the Mari Nevoah have to do with it? The Mari Nevoah loss doesn't really help him. It doesn't make any difference. So why is it that suddenly after he received the Mari Nevoah, then he wasn't afraid anymore, and then he built him his bayah? I mean, what is it's a strange kind of a thing the Ramban is saying. All right? Yeah. Okay, so the whole area really deserves some kind of an explanation, a general principle. Okay? So some kind of what Chazal mentioned deserves an explanation. I mean, aside from the detail, as I said, with the Nevoah. That's a separate thing we're trying to talk about. The Ran talks about it. It's a difficult concept, but whatever. It's interesting. It's interesting. The Ramban doesn't say that this is a sod. I mean, sometimes Ramban says it's a sod. Because it says, for instance, the Yishon Hashem Anirilov. So Ramban says, Yitachin Shiyimos Anirilov Al Sod A Korban A Maskel Yavin. Sometimes Ramban says a sod, but this doesn't seem to be a sod. This seems to be a general principle. It means it's a principle that's irrational, that a person can understand, and is not really a metaphysical area. I mean, it's something which one should be able to understand rationally. Ramban does not say this belongs to those areas that are hidden from pure rational investigation, as he does in many areas. Of course, what the Ramban means in those areas is not that it's not rational. He means that there are certain principles that you must have in order to understand the rationality. And we don't have those principles anymore, because he says those principles have to be received the ishmi piyish. But this Ramban doesn't say it depends upon certain things that we received ishmi piyish from Moshe Rabbeinu, but rather it's something which Chazal mentioned. It's a general principle. Okay, I'd like to understand what that principle is. Okay, it's interesting if you take a look at the parsha. Okay, take a look at the parsha. Vayomer Hashem el Avram, lech lecha me'artzecha, mimoladetecha, mibeis avicha, el ha'aretz asher areka. Okay, so it's pretty obvious that this pasuk, this sivui, represents a change, a transition in the life of Avram Avinu. This sivui. Okay? It reflects a transition. It's pretty clear. I mean, actually, it's the first time you find that HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke to Avram. All right? Interesting is that, of course, at this point, this was not the first point in Avram Avinu's life that was significant. As a matter of fact, I mean, the way the Rambam describes, where the Rambam describes, the most significant things that took place in Avram's life preceded this. It's interesting. Because the Rambam says in Hilchas Avodas Kachovim, so the Rambam gives a little history of Avram in his life. So the Rambam over there says, in the beginning of Hilchas Avodas Kachovim, so the Rambam says that that the world at one point was steeped in Avodah Zarah and idolatry. Okay. And they started to worship the heavenly bodies, the stars and the planets. He says, in that time when the world was steeped in idolatry, and their wise men, their priests, Midamin She'in Shom Eloka, Ela Kochovim Vagalgolim, She'nasu Atzur Sele Biglomim, the most, Ava Tzur Alomim Lo Hoya Shum Odom Shehoya Makiro. No one knew God, and everyone at that time thought that what is responsible for what they see are the heavenly bodies, the Kochovim and the Gagalim, below Yodo El Yechidim Ba'olam. Only a few individuals in the world knew about the true idea of God. Kigon Chanoch, Umesu Shelach, Noach, Shem, Va'ever. A few individuals. Just individuals. Al Derech Zeho Yeho'olam Holech Umes Galgel. And in this way the world was continued to go. Okay, till Avram Avinu was born. That was the world was steeped in idolatry. Kivan shenigmal eisan zeh, as soon as he became weaned, okay, hischil shote bedaito v'hu katan, he was a youngster, and he started to think. Hischil lachshov b'yom u'b'layla, and he would think day and night, voya temiyo, he started to think about the movements of the planets and try to understand what the cause of that of the motion of planets is. Dovar. No one taught him anything. They all served idols, and he went and he served idols with them. The libo meshote to meivin achehisig derech haemes, veivin kava tzedek mitvunas anachana, and he was sunk in idolatry and all kasdim. He himself worshipped Avodah Zarah. He went with his parents to worship, and he kept on thinking. While he was worshiping, in the back of his mind he was thinking and concerned until he was able to see the true ideas. The Yoda Sheyeshom Eloka Echod, that there's one God, Vahu Mane Gagalgal, Vahu Barakol, he's responsible for the motions of the planets, and he created everything. Okay, everything that exists, there's nothing that really exists, has real existence besides God. Okay, the Yeda Shekol Olam Toim, the Dora Shegoralahem Litos. Okay, so he says that then he understood that not just the true ideas, but he also understood why people have false ideas. He understood the reason why people have these false ideas. He was able to trace their idolatrous tendencies and explain them and understand them, and he knew the truth. As soon as he understood, so he did battle with the people of Ur Kasdim. This is not the truth, the way you're living. Shiber atzlamim v'hischilo di la'om she'ein roi lavod ela לאלוקה העולם ולא רואה לשתחבוס ולהקרא לנסר כדי שיכירו כל הגרום הבן. Okay. And he taught them, and he, and the Ram continues, Kivan Shagava Lambare Yosov, he was very successful with his proofs. Okay, logically, he showed them that they're wrong. So then Bikash Melech Lahorgo, the Nasalones for Yatzalachan. Okay. So basically, what is the Rambam, Rambam's explaining? All this that he explains is really in the Psukim before. That's really the Psukim before. Yigach Terechas Avram Bedova, Slod Ben Orm Ben Benova, Esor Kalosso, Esh Rama, Vayetsu Ita Meur Kastim Lolechas Atzakanan, Vayavoat Choran, Vayesh Rusham. Okay? It's an interesting thing. So all this that the Rambam explains about Avram Avinu, his amazing character, personality, his intellect, such an astounding individual that on his own he was able, with pure reason, to discover God, and to show the people that their idea, their false ideas, the idolatrous ideas are totally erroneous. They're a mere imagination. And then when he started to argue with them, so what happened was that the king got upset. And the king got upset, he says, Bikshamach Laharga wanted to kill him. Okay. This chalam of liquor will call God, lechol olam, with him, sheyesham, lechai, echo, lechol olam, velo, roi, lava. All right. Then he went. They went from one place to another, referring to the others. Okay. So it's interesting. But what's interesting is that it would seem that the most important thing that Avraham Avinu did in his life is what the Rambam explains. I mean, this is the most important thing for a human being to be able to remove himself from his environment. I mean, to be able to go against the religion of the religion of the state and to show that it's false and to argue and put his life in jeopardy. I mean, this is his greatest achievement. Okay, but amazingly, I mean, the Torah doesn't even mention it. It's an amazing. The Torah doesn't even mention it. The Torah just says, I mean, actually, according to Chazal, it's merumas in a couple of psukim. Vela tell the Terach, Terach les Avram, es nochel es Haran, v'hard over this lot. Okay, v'yomos Haran al p'nei Terach aviv, beretz malad to bor kasdan. So it says, Haran died in the presence of his father. So Rashi says, b'chai aviv, he says, why? Because the famous story. Because he says, "I day oviv meis." He says, "Medrashim al pnei terach oviv" means "I day oviv." The indication, the semantics of the pasuk is also trying to tell you that he died because of his father. Why shekibel terach al Avram beno with name Nimrod? Because Terach complained, he turned Avram in. Okay, with name Nimrod. Al shekite says slomav eshlicho lekivshan eish. All right. So what happened here, the Rav mentioned that that Avram Avinu had a sick father. He says because that there, many times there's a psychological turmoil and strife between a father and a son. So if the son is rebellious, so that's a normal kind of a thing. Okay, the son rebels against the father. He says, but the father to turn against the son, he says, this is completely abnormal. So here you see that Terach was a sick individual. I mean, he turned his own son in to Nimrod. I mean, he was not there psychologically. I mean, he wasn't completely sane. I mean, he was a demented kind of a person to turn on his own offspring. Yeah, I mean, you could say, of course, that it simply shows, I mean, how strongly tied, how loyal he was to Avodah Zarah. I mean, that he was very loyal, he was so loyal to Avodah Zarah that he even was willing to turn in his own son. I mean, yeah. But the pasuk really says the Rav Pshat is correct, because the pasuk, when it wants to show you how bad distorted the idolaters are, so the pasuk says ki gam you shouldn't do losas misavos agayim ahem. Pasuk says you shouldn't do like the abominations of these nations, like ki gam es b'nehem uvenoseihem yisrafu va'ish lelahem. You say, so what does the pasuk mean? It means that the idolatry, the avodah zarah, distorts the natural psychological patterns. There is such a thing as a healthy psyche. So the pasuk says, higames b'neihem es b'noseihem yisrafu va'ish lelahem. It means it shows you that they are so distorted from the fantasy and the illusion of the idolatry, that they even distort the natural psychological state. Because there is such a thing as a normal psychological state, and the pasuk is showing you that idolatry is so evil. It is so deeply rooted in these people that it even distorts their normal. That's the extent. That's how far it goes. So yes. The question is that why don't I say just the contrary? Why don't I say it shows you that they're tremendously mosa nefesh? I mean, they're mosa nefesh for their views. Okay, I mean, that's what you're asking, basically. And you see Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu, v'lo chasachto as bincha as yichidcha mimani. So that was on the contrary, it's the greatness of Avraham Avinu. So why can't they say the same thing? They say the same thing. It shows you how they are so great and they are so loyal to their views that they'll even sacrifice their own children. They'll go against their own emotion. What's the answer? What's the answer? It's a good question. What's the answer? Sarah Morris is very interesting. One would think that what would be Ben Tzor Amara, very amazing thing, that what would be Ben Tzor Amara, if you want to give an example of someone that has to be killed. Why? Because he's going against you're rebelling against the whole system, right? So interesting thing. So what would you say? So you'd say, he went and he ate tarfus, okay? He went and he ate, I don't know, you want to say he went and he ate, food that was given for Avodah Zarah. I mean, that's what a person would ordinarily say. He did something which was really against the system of Torah. He went, he ate treif. On the contrary, as a matter of fact, Allah says, if it's tarfus, he's put his pot. Just the opposite, exactly the opposite. It's Zolo Vesove, it's an interesting thing. Ben Tzor Amora is the idea of Ben Tzor Amora is not because simply he's going against the not because he's going against the system. As a matter of fact, I mean, like I said, if he eats something that's treif, he's potter altogether. So because the Torah recognizes that a person can have conflicts when it comes to the system of Torah. It's conflicts. So therefore, the Torah doesn't expect a 13-year-old to be able to resolve those conflicts. He feels it's a burden. So sometimes he subordinates, sometimes he rebels. That's not why you don't kill a youngster because he has problems, religious problems, problems with the Yahadis. That's normal. But the Zolo Vesove is a different thing over there. But because first of all, he has to steal, and he steals Mishael Aviv. On the contrary, you think it's not such a terrible thing, because Mishael Aviv means it's readily available. It's in his house. He didn't ask his father permission, so I wonder, But over there by Zolo Vesove, the Rambam explains in the Yad that the essence is Zolo Vesove. It's Zolo Vesove, and what it means is that he's an individual that the way he does the chait means he's an individual that is completely devoid. As a matter of fact, that's the thing. He's devoid of any religious conflict. He's completely. He's completely engrossed in the physical to the point where the conscience plays no role whatsoever. You see, and that's why the Torah does not say he's a person who goes out and eats tarfus. Because that's normal. People have conflicts in these areas. It's difficult. But the person, but the Zohar Vasove, is one who doesn't have these kind of conflicts. He doesn't have these kind of problems. He's completely engrossed in the life of the in a gluttonous type of in gluttony. That means he's helpless, basically, because there isn't even a tinge of conscience. That's a very unusual kind of thing. That's a Neir Gal Shem Sofer. Neir Gal Shem Sofer. Yes, the whole only the requirements. Right, yeah. That's a different thing. Okay. But actually, the Gemara says that that in actuality it never happened. I mean, in such a case, because it's very difficult. First of all, because all the halachic requirements are very difficult to fulfill, and for parents to come and do something like that is a very unusual kind of a thing, even though they'd be correct. Yeah. But the question is, why does the Torah frown upon the idolater? Because it says Gamas Benevas Benasim Yisfu Boeish Lelohem. The answer is like this. The answer is because when a person understands idolatry, a person understands idolatry, and I'm not going to expand on it this year, but if a person understands idolatry, idolatry is a very self-seeking kind of a system. Basically, it's a system where the individual is catering to their own needs. See, it's a catering to their own needs, and their own methods, protective devices that are self-serving. That's basically what it is. That's why Gamas Bineim Vespinosein Yisrafu Bo'esh Lelohem, because they will even sacrifice their own children in order to secure through their protective devices their own physical existence. You see. So that's really that's why the Obdei Avodah Zarah are considered on they're totally distorted. You see. But Avraham Avinu, when an Obdei Avodah Zarah destroys their child, they have very great compensation. They have great compensation when they take a child and then they throw it to their gods. It secures them a successful year, and the gods won't punish them, and they'll have rain, and they'll have crops, and they'll be successful. So they give up their children for their own physical good. See, there's this system of compensation. When Avraham Avinu was Makriv Yitzchak, there was no compensation for that. That was a total loss. It means that he completely knew that he will never. It was just simply the giving up of that which was the most valuable thing to him, his son. There was no compensation. That's why, and the one time mentioned, I said, that's precisely why that was the test. Why was that the Nisayon? Because people would say that the reason why Avraham Avinu doesn't agree with the Obdei Avodah Zarah is because he simply is not capable of doing that. That's why, because he doesn't like it. He's not capable of giving up his child. And the Ovdei Avodah Zarah are. So there was as long. So therefore, it was never demonstrated. You see, that was something which people would say. That's why he has this new religion. This new religion is something which saves him from doing something which is very, very painful. You see, it was painful to them. It was definitely painful to them. So that's why V'lo Chasachtos Binchos Yichidcho Mimeni showed that he is, on the contrary, he is capable of doing that, but he doesn't do it because he knows that it's false. You see. But the Nisoyan from Avram to be Makriv Yitzchak was not the same kind of a phenomenon of the Avodah Zarah. For them, they have tremendous compensation. He had no compensation. It was total loss. Okay. That's true. Also, there wasn't even any social compensation. In the case of Terach, he was definitely respected, and the king, no doubt, praised him for doing this, for giving up his son. Avraham Avinu was nothing at all. It was just total loss. It was a different. There was he knew that this is simply Gezeiras Hashem, and the same relationship that he had with God before was the same relationship he'd have with God later. The only thing is he'd be missing Yitzchak. That was V'lo chasachta as mincha es yechidecha. Okay.
Yeah.
That's correct. Yeah. He destroyed his slumim, but I mean, that's what I'm telling you. That his slumim, these things are the idolater is all the idolatry is completely self-serving. I mean, that's the whole institution of idolatry is basically in order to protect oneself, and the individual does not wish to live in a world, a rational world, is an unpredictable world. And the idolater wants to have some kind of security. So the security he attains from setting up these various protective devices and entities. And I mean, this is very—it's completely self-seeking. Okay, it's a sacrifice, but it's a trade-off. Basically, when the idolater gives up his child, it's a trade-off. It's an emotional trade-off, one against the other. Whether Avraham Avinu wasn't the trade-off, it was a complete loss. Yes. Yeah, so that's why Haran in the process, he lost, actually he didn't lose Avram in the process, but he lost Haran. Okay, because Haran drew a conclusion, viewed it as an experiment. In other words, if Avram's successful, I'll jump in, and if not, then I'll stick with Terach. So, yeah. The problem. So the problem with that is. So he saw that Avram was saved. So he jumped in, and then he was consumed. Yeah. And what it means is that what Chazal mean by that story is that Haran, you see, Haran was he had a doubt. I mean, apparently he wasn't as convinced as Terach. Okay. I mean, Terach was convinced that Avram's not going to escape, but Haran thought. Maybe, you know, who knows? You know, let's see. I mean, maybe Avram has something here. Okay? But his conclusion, you see, his conclusion was based on the same kind of methods that he had learned from the idolaters. In other words, that the main thing is to be in the situation where you are most protected. You're serving yourself, where you're most protected. So exactly. So therefore, so Avram won, so he says, this is the way to go. He simply, he converted, okay, he gave up the particular practices, but in his experiment and his conclusion, what he was doing was the exact same thing. The exact same thing, namely, to be on the safe side. Oh, this is the magic that works. Stick with that magic. But it was not based on any kind of knowledge. It wasn't based on any kind of knowledge. And since it wasn't based on any kind of knowledge, it was worthless. And therefore he was consumed. In other words, basically, what it means was he wasn't deserving of Ashgaha. Anyone who jumps in the fiery furnace is going to be consumed. Unless they're under Ashgaha. So his method was he was a little advanced because he apparently had some kind of a structure, kind of a chord in him. I mean, some kind of a question there. Maybe he's right, okay? But he couldn't remove himself from the same methodology and approach. So therefore, he wasn't deserving of any kind of a of hashgacha, and he was subject to the natural processes, and he simply was consumed. That's what the, So, that's good, very good. That's good. See, he says, Baris Molalto Borkasta, the place where he was raised. Meaning that that's why he was, that's why he died. See, he couldn't remove himself from the primitive idolatry of that he was raised in. Yeah. And there's a chazal like that too. Because chazal say that sometimes God, and we mentioned this many times, sometimes that God helps the idolater. That certainly he becomes very superstitious, and a lot of times it works. It works. So Chazal say that God sometimes intervenes. It's Ashgacha that it should even be successful. Okay, against the odds. Sometimes it's more than, because that's why they say Rabbi Akiva, how come these things work? So Rabbi Akiva says coincidence. Coincidence! Man, he does some crazy thing, and he gets healed. Why did he get healed? So Rikki Vedanta says, coincidence, this is a spontaneous cure, certain X amount of times, and just so happened that when he sang his Avodah Zarah, so then he got cured. So, yeah, but then they asked me, said, in certain incidents seem to be not more than spontaneous. So he said, it's because sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu helps the superstitious person that it should work for him in order that he shouldn't change. What does it mean? It means to say that God does not want a person to change because of that primitive kind of thing, like harm. Well, change because he sees it's not working, so that's why he's going to change. That's no good. The change has to be because of the ideas, because he knows the emes and he knows the truth. And the change, many times, a bederach shodom rotzel lelech malichon aso, that a rasha has hashgacha too, that he's omeid, God doesn't let him get off that path so easily, that sometimes there are events that would take him off the path, but of course he doesn't deserve to be off the path, so he's supported, and certain things actually would seem to prove what he's doing, because there's no value in an individual changing because of the wrong method. That's worthless. That's worthless. It's only good if you recognize the truth. So Haran's philosophy was worthless. Yeah. Then he's going to just use the Torah for his own. The Torah is going to become his. He'll use the Torah for amulets to and it'll convert the whole thing into his system. That's what it told us. As a matter of fact, it would appear. I mean, it would appear that and from the Ramban that we just mentioned, that when he went out to Shechem over there, he didn't want to. At first, he didn't want to do anything there because he learned from his previous error. I mean, that he made, apparently there was some error he made, you see, politically, apparently. It would appear, I mean, he wouldn't have, it doesn't make sense, because you see later the Ramban says he changed his approach. Now, what happened at first, he didn't want to be Kari B'Shem Hashem. Only afterwards, it says, Vayera Hashem, first Yom Ad Mekom Shechem, and then after Vayera Hashem al Avram, Vayom al Zarach, Etan Asar Zazos, then Vayivin Shem Azbeach al Hashem and Nerei Lot. So Ramban said first he didn't do it. Why? Because apparently he learned from his mistake in Or Kasdan. So apparently, politically, he didn't realize, I guess he didn't realize his own father's going to turn him in. That's something which was, which like the Rav says, is abnormal, a sick mind. I mean, Terach had a sick mind. I mean, he was a sick man. He gave him his own son. He didn't realize that his father would be that crazy to give up a son. So, unfortunately, I mean, he was wrong. But later, he was cautious. He was cautious. Yeah. So, it's interesting. So, but all this is only, I mean, there's one thing that the Rav mentioned, which is almost open in the pasuk. Because it says, the funny thing, it says, Vayikach Terach as Avram Beno, Veslot Ben Horon Ben Beno, his grandson, Vesoy Kaloso Eshon, Vayetsu Ito Meur Kastim Lalechas Atzakanan, Vayvo Atchan Vayeshvashan. Okay? So, yeah. So it says, so apparently, the one that made the move was Terach. Very interesting thing. It means apparently two people were affected by the incident that Avram escaped miraculously. All right, Haran jumped in, but Terach apparently had a change of heart also, because after he gave his son up, but he saw that he escaped, that something over here strange is going on. Apparently, he had a change of heart. Because Vayikach Terach as Avram Beno, it would appear from the pasuk that then he was ready to, he thought it over, rethought, and he said, on the contrary, he said that his son's God is correct, or at least at that point they're wrong, whatever. Some kind of a state. A midpoint, because you see, it's interesting because it says, so Terach died in Haran. And actually, Rashi says that the Pasuk didn't want to reveal it, but really, Avram Avinu left Terach, what was it, 60 years before he died, right? Yeah, but the pasuk didn't want to make it look like that. It concealed it because it starts Yom Hashem Avram Lech Lecha Me'atzcha. It sounds like Terach Dad already, but really it isn't, because most people always think that the father is. In other words, there was an argument with Terach and Avram or whatever, and they think that it wasn't right for Avram to leave his father, even though he was a Russia, and even though he was a Russia. So he really he should abandon him. He can't live with a Russia, even though it was his father. But the world doesn't look at it that way. The world looks at it like a bad thing. I have to leave his father, an old man there. So the Torah concealed it. You have to actually be a person that's on a level of learning where you have to be able to derive it from the psukim. If you're on that level, you're okay. But for a regular person, an ordinary person, it's going to be turned off. So Terach apparently. Terach apparently, and there's a chazal that says that Terach b'tshuva. Of course, the pasuk says, Va'ata tovol avosecha b'shalom. So chazal says, how can you say that? Terach is an avod lazar. So chazal said, Terach b'tshuva. So you see, Terach underwent some kind of transition himself. Of course, he left Ur Kasdim. That meant he rethought the situation. And he took his son, and he was ready to recognize the God of his son. But he was still a Russia, apparently. What is Rishus? I mean, we can't know. But later, Chazal say that he did tshuva towards the end of his life. He did tshuva. So this was a transition state when he vayikach Terach Avram b'nav. Okay? Yeah. But at any rate, yeah. And they were saying, Ramban says that Haran was their original place. The family always was from Haran. So he says, the Ramban says. Because it says lechom me'atzchom v'latchom beis avicha, where were they? It says they were in Haran. So Ramban shows. I mean, he has a nice, evidence to show the family was always from Haran. But then they went down to Ur Kasdim, and then they moved to Ur Kasdim for some reason, and Haran was born over there, and then they left. And then they went back to the original place. Yeah, right. They stayed when they came to Haran. The family was there, so they stayed in Haran. Okay. So then Avram received the tzivu v'yomar Hashem al Avram lechcho me'atzcho me'ladcho me'beis avicha. That was Ramban explains it. It fits very nicely what Ramban explains. At any rate, of course, the question is though, what happens to Avram from here on in is chesed Hashem, right? But his personal achievements, are all and not even mentioned. I mean, in the pasuk, just alluded to. By Vayomas Haran al Pnei Terach Aviv Beres Malato Bor Kasdim is an allusion to all these things that the Rambam gives the most beautiful description of Avram Avinu and his development and his personal achievements, and this is all missing from the Sefer Bereishis. I mean, it's an amazing thing. It's like mountains that are tliyim basar. I mean, they're all hanging on a thread. I mean, one thread from the pasuk is the whole story of. The main part of Avram Avinu's life. Why should it be that way? What I'd like to do is take a look at the godless of Avram Avinu is everything that happened up to that point, basically. I mean, after one receives the Ashgacha, so fine. That's very nice, but that's Chesed Hashem. I mean, yeah. What I want to say is a premise that we one time established a long time ago. Namely, that the Torah really, the Sefer, Torah's Moshe, the Chamish Chumshe Torah, really is a Sefer of Hashgacha. And that's really what the essence of the Sefer is. The essence of the Sefer is really the way that the Hashgacha works. Let's take a look. See? That's really the opening statement with regard to Avram Avinu. Right? So, what does Rashi say? Rashi has famous Chazal. So Rashi says that Me'artzcho. So he says, okay, Rashi is Rashi. Go me base of Avinu. Fine. Lo gila lo haaretz miyad. Kedei lachab avav einav. V'loseis lo schar al dibur al kol dibur v'dibur. Okay? Ki yotze bo es bincho as yichidcho asher ahavto as yitzcho. So as Bincho as Yechidcho asher ahavto as Yitzchak means that he receives schar for every emotion. Bincho first it says Bincho, so maybe it's not Yitzchak, it's Ishmael, but slowly it zeroed in and he had to give up and give up every hope slowly. Asher ahavto as Yitzchak. So the Lech Lecha Me'atzcha Mimoladetcha Mibeis Avicha really is Litnei Tzchar called Dibor V'Dibor, means to say that he had to break away from every emotion. Artzcha, Moladetcha, Beis Avicha, Elaoretz Asharecha. Where? Doesn't say where. What does it mean really? What does it mean? It's interesting. These same terms, Atzcho, Molatcho, Beis Avicho, there was somebody else that was in a way similar to Avram Avinu and had this, very similar to Avram Avinu that the Torah mentions. Who is that? Yisrael. Okay, Yisrael. And on the contrary, then you see the Torah praises Yisrael, and Yisrael was a Kohen Midyan, and Yisrael was an Oved Avodah Zarah, and he was an individual that was makir the truth. Was Makir Kadosh Baruch Hu? Vayishma Yisro Chosim Migan Kavi Chosim Moshe. Okay. Now it's interesting that when Moshe Rabbeinu asked Yisro to go along to travel with him. Okay. So take a look at his answer. Answer in Balosch. All right. Where is it? Yud Chavtas. Okay. Yud Chavtas. So it says like this. Vayama Moshe l'chovav ben ruah l'midyon yichosei Moshe. Nosim anachnu l'makam asher amar Hashem oso etein lochem l'cho itanu v'etavnu loch ki Hashem dibar tov al Yisrael. Okay. Vayama elav lo elech ki im el arzi v'al moladati elech. Okay. So you see, Yisrael really had the same design as Avram Avinu, but he couldn't do it. Avram Avinu, the mitzvah was Lech Lecho Me'artcho Mimoladetcho Mibeis Avicha. Okay, Moshe Rabbeinu offered Yisrael the same thing. He said, "Come with us." Exact same thing. He says, "Nosim Anachna L'Makom Hashem Amar Hashem Osa Atin Lachem." We're going to this place that God said He's going to give to us. Lecho Itanu Ve'Tavnu Loch Ki Hashem Diber Tov Yisrael. Vayamalav Loelech Ki Me'artzi V'Moladeti Elech. So then Moshe Rabbeinu spoke again. Vayoma, al no tazav osono, ki al ken yadata chanaseinu bamidbar, vo yisulon leinayim. You're a great general, you know about the desert, and you'll be able to teach us how to travel in the desert. You have important information, okay? Voya kiselech imonu, he says, and if you go with us, voya tov ho shiit v'r shemonu v'tav nalach. Okay? So you wonder, what did he add in the second dialogue of it that they didn't have in the first one? And then it just says, "Vayisumah Hashem derech shloshes yomim." That's it. Doesn't say what happened actually. Did he go? Did he not go? And Ramban seems to think he did go. Okay, but basically, what was his answer? Ki imel artzi v'malarati elech. What it means like this: Lech lecho me'artzcho mimalaratcho mebeis avicha. Really, wasn't simply to leave the place. It meant more than that. It was leaving tzchal kol divra v'divra. It meant that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was opening up before Avraham Avinu a whole different kind of existence. Different kind of existence. The irregular person's existence is based upon certain laws of nature. Physical laws, psychological laws, and people live and lean on these laws. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's the way a human being was meant to be. Arzacho, he knows the land, he knows the contour of the land, he knows how to take the land, to use it in order to live in the land, to farm it, to hunt, whatever it might be. I mean, he lives according to the natural law. Okay, natural law. He has the security of the knowledge of the natural law. Moladetcho, he has a certain kind of emotional relationship to the place where he was born. This is his place. Beis Avicho is the house of his fathers. It gives him a certain security, a certain sense of well-being that a person has from all these emotions and these realistic needs that an individual has. And a person in his life lives according to these needs. I mean, there's no security with everything that a person has. There still is no security, but this gives him a tremendous measure of security. So even though if a person is not a person is not an Oved Avodah Zarah, I mean, he knows that he's living in a world that's based upon Chochmas Hashem. I mean, he doesn't know what's going to happen to him. Like Yigam Loyedo Adam Asito, he doesn't know. Today he's here. Melech Bosvadom, Ayom Kan Machabekever. Okay? So he doesn't know, but he has these things that do give him certain feelings of security, and in a realistic way and in a psychological way. Okay? But that type of existence is hard enough. That's a very hard thing for a person to do. For a person to abandon all the false supports of Avodah Zarah and live a life just based on Chachma is a very difficult thing to do. Rare for human beings to be able to do that. Most of the world is steeped in Avodah Zarah of one sort or another. Just to make it through life, they have to have these props. Okay? But an individual who is on a higher plane, a higher level, he's able to throw away all the superstitions and the Avodah Zarah and the nonsense and just live a life based upon Chachma. But even such an individual, which again is rare and very hard to achieve that level, even such an individual does have certain needs, not that he doesn't have any needs, okay? He needs a certain sense of security. Where does his security come from? His security comes from certain logical things, Hartzacha, okay? He has his place, he has... rationally knows he can make a living. He certainly has his profession, whatever it might be, his business acumen, is whatever it is. He has a certain kind of a security based on rationality. Okay. He also has the emotions of his comrades, his friends that he grew up with. Okay. He has beis avicha. He has the support of the father. I mean, psychologically, the father is the most important individual in the person's life. And therefore the certain sense of security from the house of his father. This is all fine and wonderful, and the Torah does not frown upon it. Nothing wrong with that. If a person reaches that madrig, he's on a very high level. Very high level. Okay? That was Avram Avinu, the rational Chacham, before Parshas Lech Lecha. Okay? But then a demand was made on Avram, which was really, almost supernatural. Namely, to give up even those kind of things. And to place his security totally in what? Elamakom, Elor, it's a Shareka. Don't even know where it is. There's no concept where what. Where is his security? Just the Ashgaha. Security of knowing that's it. Whatever the Ashgacha says, that's something which is a different level, a different stage of existence. It's a different kind of existence. It's something which is very difficult. Throws a person into a state of fear and insecurity, and people know. I mean, either people know that people have emunah. And they believe in the Kadosh Baruch Hu is Notzer Chesed Lalofim and Rav Chesed and everything. But nevertheless, people are very insecure. Feel tremendous insecurity. It's very difficult for a person to find security simply because of the idea of the Ashgacha. Okay? And Yisro was a person, an individual, who rid himself of Avodah Zarah and was on a very high level. Very high level. Vayishma Yisro Chomei Million Chosei Moshe Iskol Asher Osar Hashem So Lemoshe So Amar Shikiyot Hashem So It's a 7 minutes Ryan. What does it say? Vayichad Yisro Akolato. Vayichad. What does Chazal say? It means Vayichad. Nase Besaro Chadudim Chadudim. Okay, goosebumps. So what does that mean? It means he was amazed that until that point he rid himself of Avodah Zarah. But to see that the creator of the universe is concerned about a nation and change the laws of nature in order that this nation should be able to continue to exist. So, Vayichad, I mean, it was something which affected him tremendously. But Nasa Besaro Chadudim Chadudim has two sides to it. One side is that he recognized this truth, and he recognized the power of the Ashgacha. It was a tremendous thing. It was a tremendous thing. He was very happy about that. He enjoyed the concept. He was amazed at it. It opened up his eyes to how the Borei Olam interacts with his Brios. It was a tremendous revelation for him. But at the same time, the Chidudim also was a fear, it's a kind of fear. It's a kind of awe which shows a distance, a certain distance. It's not, Chazal say also Vayichar had a negative side to it also. That bothered him about the loss of people that he identified to some degree. But it means to say that it was two-sided. So what happened with Yisro was when Moshe Rabbeinu approached Yisro, so he says, "No similam anachnu l'makom asher amar Hashem oso etei lacha." Didn't even tell him the place. In other words, he said, "L'choi tano etavnu loch Hashem di betel Yisro." Throw your lot in with Klal Yisro, with the Ashgacha of Klal Yisro, and place your security in that. But Moshe Rabbeinu was really giving him an opportunity to rise to a new level of existence. In the middle of the desert, no way, you don't know where you're going to go, but you know, Hashem Dibre Tolo Yisrael, okay, now, Vayicha Yisrael, you're very surprised, you're very happy about this whole thing, with the Yisrael Mitzrayim, wonderful thing. Okay, now come, join us. So what do you say, Vayom Alav? Lo Eilech. Ki Melatzi Velmo Latati Eilech. What Yisrael said to Moshe Rabbeinu was that I reached a certain level. I'm not an Ovid Avodazar anymore. I rid myself of all the nonsense and the shtus, and I don't have these false securities and superstitions. I don't believe in that. I only believe in the Borei Olam. But I still need certain things to give me a sense of well-being and a sense of security. I'm not ready to simply just say that my security is Hashem di betel Yisrael. I can't not on that level. Yisro was very honest. He was a very honest person. Okay? It was that really you see that Moshe Rabbeinu, by trying to entice Yisro to join him, it was really for Yisro. He loved Yisro. It was his father-in-law. He wanted him to be raised to a higher level. And he gave him the opportunity. But Yisro was very honest. He couldn't do it. So then Moshe Rabbeinu tried something else. He said to him, "Al natazav asano, ki al ken yedata chanasenu bamidbar v'yisro lonu le'enoyim. V'hoya kiselich imanu v'hoya ato v'hu asheyita v'ashem imanu v'etav nulach." So he told him, okay. Then he said, okay, so you're not on the level to go, but I'll tell you, you can come with us for another reason. First of all, you'll benefit us because of your knowledge of the desert. You'll benefit us that way. And you could look at it in a different manner. You're someone that has something important to give to us. You have it's an exchange. You'll give us the benefit of your knowledge, okay? Your knowledge, your generalship, everything that you know about what we need in order to get to the place that we're going, and they tav nulach. So there you'll have a certain sense, then you'll be secure. You will not have to simply rely on a Kadosh Baruch Hu, but we will take care of you, and you can feel a sense of security. You're doing a job, and a person has a certain security in a job, and therefore it'll be just like you'll have the same sense of security. He gave him a second proposition. Okay, Ramban says, we don't know, the Torah doesn't say what he did with that. Okay, Ramban seems to think that he did go, he did take it. But he needed basically what he was looking for was the security of in a certain extent, the security of a Basar Adam. Some kind of a security. See, when we say in Berchas HaMazon, you say, V'lol de matnas Basar Adam, people don't realize what exactly that means, what a statement it is. Basically, it means the idea that you're really asking, you're giving up the security of a matnas basar adam. That's really what you're saying in Berachas HaMazon. You're giving up the idea of matnas basar adam. It's an interesting thing, because matnas basar adam is basically, you wonder, sometimes people people, you know, even very from people, and he has to say, what are you going to do for a living? Ritzira. Okay, looking for Ritzira. Yeah, so what is that? I mean, it's a contradiction. You say, lo de manas basodam, and the person looking, this is exactly what he's looking for, manas basodam. The answer is because there's a tremendous security in a manas basodam. And that's really, in a sense, that's really what Moshe Rabbeinu offered Yisrael. He offered him that kind of a security. It doesn't mean a person that lives with that security is a rasha, chas v'shalom. But it's not the highest level. That's not the highest level. Okay. So Yisrael could not make it. Avram Avinu was the individual that was able to do it. Lech lecha me'atzcha mi'moladetcha mi'beis avicha is a new parsha for Avram Avinu, really. It was a whole new world of existence. And the truth of the matter is that that's exactly what Kula Tara Kula is, not stories about great individuals. It's stories about Hashgachas Hashem. Because the Torah does not want the person. On the contrary, you see, we don't really have too many stories, hero-type stories. I mean, you know, there's Achron that talk about, well, you're allowed to, you know, it's good to tell Maisim about Tzaddikim, you know what I mean? It's a good thing, you know. Fine, but you know, but you'll notice throughout our history, and that's what Chazal say, Klal Yisrael is Kedoshim Hain. It means that many things that Klal Yisrael do, they're Kedoshim. Even Amei Haaretz, even plain people. Because what they're doing is based upon, comes from a Masorah. It trickles off, okay? And many times even things Amei Haaretz do, trickles off from the nucleus of the system. So it's Kedoshim Hain. And you'll see that in our system, you have very little stories. I mean, very little stories. And if a person wrote a sefer about the Vilna Gaon, had a hard time putting together, Ruach Eliyahu wrote the sefer, authentic stories about the Vilna Gaon, had a very hard time putting together a few little things. I mean, very difficult. Because the whole system of Yahadis is against us. The Torah doesn't want to tell the story of Avram Avinu's personal achievement in discovering HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That, on the contrary, could be something which could be a negative thing. Because then you're looking for the support in hero worship and telling stories about great people. There is really, you're looking for a certain psychological support of a bus of a dump. You see? That's not what the Torah really teaches. The Torah teaches a person to look directly at the Hashgachas Hashem. And that's why the Torah really is a sefer that is devoted completely to the incidents of the Hashgacha. So the story of Avram Avinu begins with the Hashgacha, not with Avram Avinu's personal achievement. On the contrary, if you have stories about personal achievement, then you'll get involved in being tied with the emotional security that a person, emotional biographical type of security from Avram Avinu. That's wrong. That's not what we're interested in. That's why, as I say, I mean, you'll find with Gedolei Yisrael very few stories, because so many Gedolei Yisrael lived unbelievable, remarkable lives. There are very, very few stories about them. The reason is because our system is not a system of stories, not a system of biographies, not a system of history and hero worship. All that is connected, really, the central chut, the central direction of the Torah, which is to study Maaseh Hashem. Maaseh Elokeinu, to study the Maaseh Hashem and to be able to relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu directly. Okay? Stories about great heroes takes one away from that. It's going in a different direction, in an opposite direction. Yeah, as I said, Achronim HaMata, they say certain things good. Sometimes, in a way, if it's done properly, it could be a good thing. But it's never really emphasized. Never really. That's on the contrary. That's part of Lech Lecha Me'artzecha Me'moladetcha for kids. Go away from this type of hero worship. Okay? The whole Derech HaTorah is a different kind of approach. And that's why the story of Avraham Avinu, for us basically, begins with the Hashgacha, to study the Hashgacha. And what do we see? Here's where the Ramban comes in with a tremendous Yisod. What's the Yisod? Maaseh Avos Simul Labanim. What does it mean, Maaseh Avos Simul Labanim? It means like this. It means that, you see, Klal Yisrael is really tied as a group, as a klal. Every yachid, of course, can't possibly be tied to this level because every yachid can't live like that. Okay? But the klal, it's interesting, the klal is tied to that. because the whole concept of bris, of Sinai, and the bris, what is the bris, that the tochacha, ba'ol b'shvua, all the krisis brisos with between Klal Yisrael and Kadosh Baruch Hu, okay, the three brisos. What are the krisis bris? The krisis bris is that Klal Yisrael is dedicated to living an existence based upon the Ashgacha. That what is the Ashgacha? That if they follow the Derech HaTorah, they'll be successful, and if not, they won't. Okay, so that means that they abandoned as a group any kind of natural cause and effect with regard to their existence. And they place their security as a group totally in the Hashgachas Hashem. Okay, that's the whole concept of the Krisis Bris. That's called a Torah Kulubis. So you see, the whole Torah, Avraham Avinu was able to accomplish it as a Yochid. And his Bonim were able to accomplish it as a group. Now, it's an interesting thing. You see, what the Torah is telling is like this, that a person who is living in that kind of a state of mind, that kind of a state of existence, will make different decisions than they would were they living in the normal state of existence. It has to be that way, because a person always makes his decisions based upon where the essence of their personality, their character, resides, so to speak. Okay, so a person who is in the world of Ashgacha and who is concerned only with the reality that's a true reality, Klape HaKadosh Baruch Hu, with regard in relationship to God, is away from the realities of the social world. They live in a different, completely alone in a different world. Okay, the person who lives alone in that world makes different kind of decisions. Now, the decisions that they make are different than they would have made in the other existence. That's what the Ramban is pointing out. Ramban says that and when he came to Shechem, first he was afraid. Then later, after he received the Nevuah, he wasn't afraid. What it means is, I mean, we can't go into Avraham Avinu's mind, but we could say this much, that what it means is that once the Hashgacha became more clear to him, through the Nevuah, his decision was different. At first, his decision was as dangerous to speak out over here. Later, after the Ashgacha, he saw that his decision was not really based completely on objective criteria, and he rethought it and he said, no, it's not dangerous yet. It's now it really should be Karev Hashem Hashem. All right, it means that the reality of the Ashgacha, as it impressed itself upon his mind, changed the criteria in which he lived. The different types of decisions that he wouldn't have made before, he made then. And the truth of the matter is that everyone that lives according to the Ashgacha properly will make different decisions. And basically, what Chazal say, Ma'isei Avos Simul Banim, means that the Avos who lived in that way and made those decisions. Now, once those decisions are made, those decisions fall into a certain world of reality, a social reality, whatever it might be, you see, essentially a social reality. And people react to it in a certain way. What Chazal is saying is that the Torah is giving you, in the Ma'aseh Avos, a blueprint of what will happen to people who live and act according to the Ashgacha, that that's their consideration. They're going to make different kinds of decisions, and the effect is going to be different. So therefore, it's going to be like a unique kind of social interaction. Avraham Avinu really left Chomei Atzma, left from Beis Avicha, set up a new kind of social interaction, which means to say, the way, if you study carefully, the different events of the Avos, what happened to them with the Malachim that interacted with them, and all the way they acted was based upon different elements, and therefore their decisions were unique, and the reaction of the people were unique, and it won't repeat itself again in ordinary circumstances, because you don't have such a kind of a sociological history, except by the Avos, you see? And what it's saying, the Ma'aseh Avos Simul Banim, is that the Banim, they follow in the Derech of the Avos, insofar as they follow in Derech of the Avos, and Klal Yisrael as a group. That's why it says Ma'aseh Avos, essentially for Klal Yisrael. But it doesn't have to be only Klal Yisrael, it's for Yechidim too. But it means to say that Klal Yisrael lives. That's the whole Yerusha of the Avos, is that they live according as a group. When they live properly, they live according to the reality of the Ashgacha. And therefore, they make decisions based upon that. And therefore, the outcome of their interaction will reflect, will be similar to the way Avraham Avinu's events were lined up because of the way he acted and the way others interacted with him. That's what it means. That's why it's a very important yesod. Because the opportunity that you have in Torah Shebichsav to study the Maase Avos is a unique opportunity. It's a unique history. It's a kind of a history that can't be written normally, because it's a history of individuals who lived within a different kind of a frame of reference, and therefore they acted differently. Now, how do the other people interact with that kind of action? It's a different kind of a thing. You can't find history like that anywhere. That's only to be found in the Torah and Sefer Bereishis, essentially, where it has the Maase Avos. So it's a different kind of a unique phenomenon that the Torah is. That's what the Ramban says. This is an important yesod for all these different events that happened to the Avos. You see, like Chazal say that before they went to the Kesar, so they'd study the Yaakov and Esau, Parsha of Yaakov and Esau. Why? Because Yaakov made decisions that were totally based on reality, and therefore you studied that area, so you see exactly how a person should act. That's why the Ramban says Shem. Shem was a simon for what would happen. Okay, they were very depressed when they came back, because Dina, their sister, their sister was abused, and a normal person would react differently, because they would react simply to the social scene, and could have done different things, but they was mispoel that they shouldn't react that way, but that they should be able to recognize only one reality, the reality of the world of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the Ashgacha, and therefore make decisions that are based upon that. Those decisions are usually those decisions have an eternal character, have a certain eternal character, because a person who's living in the world of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in the world of Ashgacha, recognizes that his life is really insignificant in terms of his physical existence, a very short duration. And they think in terms of their decisions and their goals are based on a different kind of a reality, which really goes beyond their physical existence. That's another thing which you see the Torah emphasizes. That Avraham Avinu's decisions wasn't so important to him, what he's going to have today, tomorrow, next 10 years, next 15 years, whatever. The important thing was his decisions had an eternal character. And when a person rises to a higher level to the world of Ashgacha, his decisions take in different factors, different elements that partake of the eternal. Long ways off. The future beyond his physical existence is just as real as his own physical existence. It's a different kind of a framework. So basically, that's why he was mispala. That's what it means. He was mispala for them by Shem. Because Shem was an incident where that's why emotion, they're very upset emotionally. I mean, it doesn't mean the person has no emotions. They're very upset emotionally. Now the question is, how they're going to react. They're going to react based upon the here and now, and the anger and the rightful anger, deserved anger, that the sister was abused, mistreated, and nevola as a result. How do they do that to us? So the question is, how are you going to react? Or do you look at the eternal scheme of things? He was mispal for Shem. That's what it means. That's why the pasuk says Shem, to show you that there's a different kind of existence, that Avraham Avinu was the first one to enter in that kind of existence, and that kind of an existence is exactly a blueprint for his bonim, Klal Yisrael, because they too will enter into that kind of an existence. Okay? Yeah, that's what the Ramban says. It's a tremendous. By the way, you see, this idea, you see, it's true certainly for the Klal, and it's even true, what I say, it's even true for the Yochid as well, insofar as the Yochid is on that level. But take a look at that Rashi. Rashi really says that, where he says, V'eschol agoy gadol. See? So Rashi says, why does it say, Lechom me'atzchom lechom beitzchom lo sharekah? Fine. Okay. Why does it say, V'eschol agoy gadol? Rashi says, V'fish ha'derech goremes l'shlosh ha'dvarim. Me'ma'etes per v'rivyo, u'ma'etes es ha'mamon, because when a person travels, So it takes away from his family life. He doesn't have many children. It takes away from his money because he can't earn money. He needed to earn money to be in a society, in a fixed place. Okay. And also his name is, his fame, his name is diminished. Okay. That's, yeah, because he's, a person starts traveling away. He's away from society. You forget him very quickly. So that's why he says, L'kach huskak v'shlosha brachos halalo. What does it mean? It meant to say that until now you were subject to the laws, to the natural laws. You lived according to the natural laws. According to the natural laws, a person has to have certain natural considerations. He wants to increase his wealth, his family, his name, shame tov, shame shem tov. So you have to go with the normal course. But what HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him was that now, you're forfeiting all the normal support system, and therefore I am going to supply you with a different system. Okay? So that was Veschol Agoy Gadol, that he l'kach huskak l'dvar ma'alolo. According to Rashi, it means simply, the main thing was l'chom ha'atzchom l'chom. Was Veschol Agoy Gadol? That was something that he needed, because of the fact that God said, since you are going to be living in a totally different realm, and your decisions are going to be different kind of decisions, but I'm going to take care of those other things that you ordinarily would have had anyway. You're not going to lose out on those other things. So that's a rational Shavas Chol HaGadol. That fits in line with the concept that the Lech Lecha was really a totally, where Kadosh Baruch Hu set before Avram a totally different kind of human existence. Okay. That's a good point. Aaron has mentioned like this. I mean, that, yeah, too, right. It's easy for a person to think, I mean, you know, the simply, let me put it this way. It is not the same kind of satisfaction. One is an emotional kind of satisfaction, and the other one stems from the tzelem elokim, from the person's chachma. It's a different kind. In other words, what I'm saying is not simply that the person is taking the security. It's like you tell a person, well, you know, take the security from here and place it in the hav betochen and place it in the hashgacha. They're saying it's a direct transference. It's far deeper than that. That's for a simplistic person. This is a much deeper concept. It is a different part of the mind is engaged, and it's a different kind of security. Not the same kind of emotional security that the person had from the previous things that he's simply just transferring here. That was really what Moshe Rabbeinu offered Yisrael, the transference type of thing. That was a transference kind of thing. But the real security that a person attains from the Ashgacha has a different quality. It moves a different part of the soul of man. It stems from a different part of the soul. It's qualitatively differentiated. Not the same thing. That's an important point. Yeah. The purpose is to teach you this concept. The purpose, that's what I mean, similar davar strength. It's a similar davar. It's the purpose to teach you this idea. That living in the world of Ashgacha is a different kind of a life. Different kind of, that's the purpose of the Pasuk telling you Shem. It's trying to show you that Avraham Avinu, his life was a prototype that his children in Shem should be able to follow that same kind of a thing and live properly and make the proper decisions based upon the correct elements. Okay? It's a different kind of a decision. In other words, just let me briefly restate. What we're saying is that the Torah doesn't include the nace of the kifshen or eish, because that was something that resulted because of the natural thing, the way Avram's natural phenomenal development, but it still was before the stage where he lived according to the Ashgacha, which was after Lech Lecha. So the Torah is only interested in telling you, in teaching you, the ideas of how an individual lives under the concept of the Ashgacha, and then what exactly will occur. That you need to try to tell you.
Okay. There was a particular event.
Before that, what happened to him before was a result of his unbelievable abilities, but it wasn't a result of living the way he did after Lech Lecha Me'atzchom L'atcha Be'sich. It was a different kind of a life. So that Torah doesn't tell you that. That's not to say for the Torah. It's not telling you that. That a person could work out himself, or, you know, whatever. That's a star plan. This is a unique history of individuals who are living in a certain framework. That framework didn't come to existence until after Lech Lecha. Yeah, before Lech Lecha was his greatest achievement, but the Torah is not a book of human achievement. That's not what the Sefer what Torah is.
Okay.
Yeah. By the incident with Shechem, basically Yaakov Vinu. By the incident with the Shechem, that was a criticism of Yaakov Vinu, basically, that they weren't thinking in terms of the eternal elements. Because he said that the Netzvah Leiver Gunivin Ishmarti and Ilvesi means no future for Kol Yisrael. That was his Taina. Taina was that they weren't thinking in terms of the eternal elements.